almost any animal that's has to find mates, which is true for most animals, has to communicate in some ways. So monarchs definitely communicate. I mean, communication is sending a message that you want another animal to perceive. So monarchs, in finding each other for mating, do communicate with each other. So at one level, almost all animals communicate. For most of their lives, monarchs are solitary. For at least reproductive monarchs, when they're up in the United States and Canada, laying eggs and mating. So except for mating, they're pretty solitary. Some butterfly caterpillars, eggs are laid in groups and the caterpillars stay together as they're eating, probably as a way of warding off predators. But monarchs don't. Monarchs, the eggs are laid singly and the caterpillars just spend their whole caterpillar life alone on a milkweed plant, and they crawl off that plant to pupate. So they are almost always alone and not communicating when they're caterpillars. They will respond to another caterpillar, but mostly it's just kind of in fear. They're not happy when they perceive another insect on their leaf, because, or any other creature, a spider or anything else, because often that means that that other creature is going to eat them. So they don't communicate as caterpillars or as pupae. So questions that we have about monarchs is, as they're migrating and ending up in their overwintering sites in Mexico and California, where we often do see large aggregations of monarchs together. So when they're migrating south, you'll often see anywhere from 10 to thousands of monarchs. And especially as you go further south, the numbers get bigger because they're kind of funneling from the northeastern United States and as far west as North Dakota, and they're kind of funneling down through Texas. So you start to see more and more monarchs together. So the question becomes, when they're gathering at these nighttime roosting spots, and you'll see a lot of them in one tree, and I've seen that many times. It's an amazing thing to see. The question is there just something good about that particular tree that has happened to pull them all to the same place? Or are they actually drawn to each other? And I've had colleagues who've tried to study that in really clever ways, putting kind of tethering monarchs to trees or using dead monarchs and putting them in trees and seeing if other butterflies come to join them. But nobody has answered that question satisfactorily. So we still don't know if there's some kind of communication as they're finding these trees to rest in at nighttime. And if you watch them, which I've done many times, you'll see a butterfly sitting in a tree and it kind of opens its wings, kind of in a very slow way. It opens and closes its wings. And when its wings are shut, it's pretty dark on the outside of the butterfly's wings. So you really, they're not very visible. But when they open their wings, you see that bright orange. And, you know, they might be sending a signal to other butterflies. And you can see why it might be advantageous for them to be in a big group, because then if a predator finds them, you know, if you're one of 100 and a predator comes in and is going to eat two, it's much, much better to be one of 100 than one of two, because if you're one of two, you might both get eaten. So it's possible, but we don't know. And the same is true when they go to Mexico. So in Mexico, it's kind of the same story, but just orders of magnitude bigger, where one tree might have 100,000 or even more monarchs in it. So a whole tree will be covered with monarchs, and the next tree is covered with monarchs. So a lot of people think that they might be finding these sites either using vision or using smell, because it's very likely that the smell of the monarchs from previous years, a lot of them die in the wintertime and end up on the ground. So they might be perceiving these areas and finding each other and returning to the same places year after year, or There might just be something special about those areas that has nothing to do with finding each other or finding smells. They're at exactly the right elevation and the right latitude that the conditions will be perfect for them to survive the winter. So again, we don't know the details of whether they're communicating with each other to find each other, or they just happen to all go to the same place. So a lot of people are working on trying to figure that out, but so far, at least in my opinion, we don't have the answers yet. What we do know is that monarchs do have a compass. And what their compass is basically an internal clock that tells them what time of the day it is, and they use the sun. So if you want to go south and it's morning, you should keep the sun on your left. If it's afternoon, you should keep the sun on your right and you'll go south. So that we do know they can do that. There have been some really elegant experiments that showed that they can do that, but that doesn't get them to the exact spot in Mexico. That doesn't tell us what the map is. So we know very crudely, and there are some kind of current, some old experiments and some new experiments going on, that they might be able to perceive the Earth's magnetic field, and that could tell them where they are at any given time. They're not learning it. They're not like following other butterflies who have done it before, because they're four generations removed from the last butterflies that did this. So that's still a big question, is on a very fine scale, how do they find these specific spots in the mountains in Mexico every year? So there's still huge questions about how monarchs navigate.